Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today. If I was to take a poll in the room this morning and was to ask this group how many have a perfect life, how many's life is perfect, I believe that it would be a unanimous hands down that anybody would say, my life is perfect. Now, I know we're in church and there's always that one good old Christian. Well, brother, I'm blessed in the Lord. I'm blessed in the city and blessed in the field. And I'm blessed going in and blessed going. Well, you know what? I'm just blessed to be in your presence. You know what I'm saying? There's always that one guy in the group that goes, yeah, my life's good, it's perfect. But I believe that every one of us, if we were truly honest, would say, my job, this is not the job that I dreamed of when I was growing up. Like the job that I'm doing right now, this is not what I dream. Anybody in the room, you're in the job right now that you've wanted to be in. Anybody in the room? I mean, it's okay. I'm not going to shoot you down. It's cool if you have found that. Anybody made it to that dream job yet? There's a few, yeah, absolutely. And my hand's raised as well, because this is what I know I was created to do. I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that me here today with you is exactly what God designed and orchestrated for my life. And I believe that he orchestrated you being here today. Regardless of how cold it is outside, regardless of any of the circumstances you may be facing, I believe that you are here on purpose today. Just nudge your neighbor and go, I'm here today on purpose. How about you? Absolutely. I believe that. I believe that there are times that, you know, we say, well, I don't have the perfect relationships. I don't have the perfect marriage. I don't have the perfect kids. I don't have the perfect school teacher. I wish I did. There's some things I'd like to tell her back, you know, off, you know, out of class, but I'm going to restrain myself. You know, we just don't have a perfect life as much as we would want to. I believe at some point we've all reached the place in our life where we've said, really, God, this is what you've got for me? Anybody ever said that, just honestly? This is what I fasted for 21 days for? This is why I gave up steak? No, thank you. Next year, you know, anybody had that honest moment? You probably didn't. If you did were on the fast with us, you probably didn't say that over the first 5 days, because those days are cool. It's when that second week rolls around that, you know, you got to turn the TV off or fast forward through commercials, because they're doing one of my favorite steakhouses in Gainesville is Ember's, and they got that Ember commercial, you know, with the flame going over the steak and all that. I'm like, in the name of Jesus, turn off TV. You know, anybody ever feel that way? It's like those things just pop up. But we find ourselves in times, I know I have, and I've been like, God, is this really what you've created for me to do? And it's easy for us to feel trapped in those moments. Somebody say, where are you going today? I'm going to be talking about something that we all struggle with, and that's freedom. A lot of marriages have dissolved or ended because someone felt like they didn't have enough freedom, or that my freedom was being taken from me, or, you know, we've got teenagers that move out of the home prematurely because they think, I want freedom, and nobody's going to take my freedom from me, or those type things. And I believe that the reason we have a desire for freedom is because God intended for us to live a life of freedom. He intended it for us to live a life free from all the craziness, even though we're in the midst of a crazy world. I don't believe we're subject or should be subject to that environment. So we're going to talk about freedom. We're going to talk about what it's like to feel trapped, and at times when we feel like there's no hope for change. Like in our circumstances, there's absolutely no hope that this could change. But I'm here today to tell you, whatever negative circumstance you may be facing today, there is hope. His name is Jesus Christ. And there is one that wants to give you supernatural freedom. And I say supernatural because in the midst of craziness, it's kind of hard to feel freedom, you know, in our job and the requirements that are on us and those type things. You feel like I don't have freedom. You feel like there's just so much weight on me. Anybody ever felt like there's just so much weight on me? And I believe if we're completely honest, every one of us can admit that there are weeks, and you may just came out of one of those weeks where we feel like anything but free. Like we just feel like, I don't know what this mic's going to do, but like you just feel like, oh my God, I can't do anymore. Anybody ever had one of those weeks where you just feel like, okay, spouse, please take this back off of me. I don't understand why you just tried to put that on me. Anybody had a spouse or a friend or a loved one or a family member try to put something on you? Remember, God never intended for you to have to go through life carrying these things. But we put, how many knows what this is? It's called a chain, right? We create these things out of links. That's what these are. They're links. And we create our own bondage. Sometimes it doesn't take a spouse. Sometimes it doesn't take a family member. We create this bondage on ourselves because we're linked to our past. These are links. This chain is created by a link. But we're linked to our past. Many of us here today are linked to our present. We feel so consumed and so overwhelmed with what we're going on right now, we can't experience freedom. But I'm here today to tell you that Jesus Christ paid the price for you to be set free. Whatever you're going through, you don't have to carry that in the name of Jesus. Amen. How many believe that this morning? We create the chains. And a lot of times, some of you are probably thinking, well, you're just a pastor, and you know, so what's your chain look like? Or you don't know. Maybe my chain is a little heavier than your chain. So your chains may look a little different, and how we try to gloss up and make our chains, because some of us have just adapted and said, no matter what, I got to carry this. Like your past, the things that have been done to you, I've got to carry this. And so I'm going to make it look as good as possible while I carry it. Because that's not real attractive. That's rusty, been through life. But how many knows we try to dress up our stuff. We try to dress up our bondage. We try to dress up what we're trapped in. Because, again, we've decided, I'm just going to have to deal. These circumstances I'm going to have to deal with. Really, God? Is this what you call? Well, if this is it, I'm going to make it look a little better. How many have ever been there before? You try to dress up your stuff. I mean, just let it go. Just let it go. Somebody turn to your neighbor, tell them, say, just let it go. I believe that one of the greatest obstacles standing in front of you and I in our freedom is you. Not me standing in front of your freedom, but you standing in front of your freedom. I believe some of the greatest obstacles we have is ourselves. I am my own worst critic. I am my own worst. I mean, if anything can be talked negative about something, it's going to be, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to beat you to it. Because see, I know church people like to talk about people. Oh, for real? For real though? No, seriously. But I want to make sure that I'm checking me off before you get an opportunity to put me on the chopping block. But see, we don't like to look at ourselves. Or do we? We're real quick to see the image, but then all of a sudden, that image of ourselves goes a little blurry, and then all of a sudden, I start focusing in on Sarah, and if this mirror would stop jiggling, I see Bobby back there. But all of a sudden, the focus of ourselves, we lose that, and we start focusing on the other people. There's Cole, and there's Dad, and Britton. We start focusing on other people. Because it's much easier for us to focus on what you're going through rather than to focus on what I'm going through. We don't like to look in the mirror. We don't want to start with the man or the woman in the mirror. We would rather pick on the other person. Today I want to talk to you for a few moments. This is going to be a two-part series. We're going to kick it off today. It's simply entitled Blind Spots. Blind Spots, Cracking the Code of Self-Awareness. Cracking the code of self-awareness. Again, remember what I said. I believe that the greatest distraction and the greatest enemy keeping you from engaging your freedom is you. Is you. Everybody say blind spots. Excuse me. So the question I want to ask this morning is this. How aware are you? How aware are you at what's going on around you? How aware are you? I know, matter of fact, the other night we were in Gainesville. It was dark, and my window tint's a little sketchy. It's a little dark, and at night it gets darker. And I was coming under Archer Road, getting ready to go into the interstate, and realized I needed to be heading to the interstate. So I went to veer over, and if it wasn't for my quick reaction, I would have sideswiped, or that car would have sideswiped me because they were in my blind spot. I don't even remember what I said. I don't know if it was Jesus or anything that had to do with Jesus. It might have had to do with something I need to repent for at the end of this service. I just know that it made my belly button pucker, and Amy, you know, she was looking at me. I mean, it was just one of the, ever had one of those moments where I said belly button. Ever had one of those moments where somebody was in your blind spot and you pulled it back real quick and you're like, oh my God, I just got to pull off the side of the road just for a second to calm everything down so nothing else happens. I was gonna leave it right there. You ever had one of those moments? That's crazy, because blind spots are some of the most dangerous. Listen, your blind spot is the most dangerous because it's the closest to you. What's that blind spot on an automobile? Every truck and every car has one. It's called a blind spot. It's a feature that every one of us have in our automobiles, and every one of us has as a feature of our lives. Automobiles on their own are dangerous. Then you just sitting in a car lot, not so dangerous. But you put a human being behind the wheel with a need for speed. How many got that need sometimes? Need for speed. And you get behind, and the automobile automatically becomes a weapon. But there is an area on that car that is dangerous, just like there's an area on your life that is even more dangerous to you being able to be connected to the freedom and the life that God has for you. It's called your blind spot. So real quick, I put together this little awareness test that I'm going to have them show in just a second. Now, if you've already seen this, if you're accustomed to Facebook, you've probably already seen this. So if you have, shh, don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. Okay, but this is just a quick awareness test about what's going on around you. And basically what it is, it's two teams, one dressed in all white, one dressed in all black. They're throwing around a basketball. I need you to count and tell me how many times the team in white pass the ball.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
The answer is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
Go!
It's easy to miss something you're not looking for. It's easy to miss something you're not looking for. We love to look at the faults of other people. But God forbid, oh yeah, if I get a glimpse of myself. See, we're real quick to judge other people. Funny, Amy and I were having a conversation about that the other day. As Christians, let me just sidebar this and side note this. As Christians, we are notorious. We don't want to say we pass judgment like the way you think of. We say everyone's accepted, my life's a mess, and I need God, and so is everybody else. But we're quick to be that Christian that goes, I would never. And I'll let you fill in the blank. I could hit a few, but it may get real personal. I'd never. No, you may not. But are you talking about your brother or sister in Christ? You may not pick up a substance, but you're using your tongue as a weapon. Dude, listen, God has been dealing with me about that, because it was like we had that conversation and it hit me. It was just like, but we're quick to do that. Man, I would never. I'm a Christian and I would never go to that place. No, but you watch that on TV. There's no big sin or little sin with God. I'm going to leave that right there and let that marinate for you for the rest of the afternoon, because it convicted me. I'm quick to go, I never. No, but let's open up that closet and find out what you do. Stay with me. Don't let your mind wander. But let's check out your closet. Shall we all stand in front of the mirror? And when you've got all these different mirrors, you can catch it from every angle. You know what I'm saying? And we're quick. I mean, why is it so hard to focus on ourselves when we live in a generation where we love ourselves? We are the selfie I don't even know if they do it in other places. We love selfies. If you don't know what a selfie is, introduce yourself to Facebook and all those little poses. Duck lips. You know, all that stuff. All that stuff. And what do? If we don't like the image that we took, I mean, my kids on the way to school, Ansley Grace, Jesus, have mercy. I mean, she must be taking 1,000 pictures from every angle. And if we don't like the way we, because why? Because we're trying to produce an image so that so you'll think something about us. I'll pull that shirt down just right so in image, he must have worked out today. And if it's folded over a little bit, aren't you glad I had an undershirt on? If it's folded over a little bit and it's not really showing, you'll delete and retake. Why? Because we want to portray an image to the people around us. But why? Because we're not happy with ourselves. We're not happy with ourselves. And therefore, we are a deceived people. Deception is dangerous. But even dangerous than deception is self-deception. Because if I can deceive myself into believing that I look like that, I might can convince you through all kinds of Photoshop and stuff that Weber works out at HTF. I need to do less looking in the mirror and finding out what's going on in your lives. And I need to turn that thing around and make sure that I'm allowing God to show me. Because the truth is, you don't really know you don't know enough about yourself like you think you do. Did that come out right? Yeah, it did. You don't know as much about yourself as you think you do. We love ourselves. So how aware are we? Funny story. Several years ago, don't be nervous. It's just me. That's why you're nervous. I know. Several years ago, on the church that I was on staff with, we took our students. It was about 50 kids, I think. We took up to Boone, North Carolina. That's where it was. When I was trying to figure out where we went to a ski trip. I had never been skiing before, and as a staff member, you kind of get brought in as a chaperone, whether you want to or not. Ever been in one of them situations? Well, so I went, and I didn't know at the time that I was getting the flu. It was probably one of the worst snow skiing experiences of my entire life. I'd never been snow skiing, and I'm really slow to even say I want to go back and try it again. I remember getting up on the house that we stayed at, was right at the lift, so we were literally able to walk out with our skis and do this thing, and I had people trying to help me, and then that flu thing started to rumble in my stomach, and I had this mask on and all this stuff, and all I could think of is, if I get sick, I won't be able to get this off fast enough. I'm trying to create an image for you. And it was just like the worst thing. And I remember as I started going down, somehow I got turned around going backwards. And I didn't know how. And he was just, fall. I'm like, I'm going to break my leg. I got poles. I'm like, just get me off this thing. I don't care if y'all laughing at me. I'm fixing to throw up on you. Just get me off. Worst trip of my life. But that wasn't the part. The part was on the way home. We're in the van with all these kids, and I'm like clockwork. I take a shower every day, sometimes 2 times a day. Just depends on the activities of the day. And so I remember that morning, I took a shower. We got in the van. We start rolling down the 8-hour drive, whatever it was. And I remember this fragrance start filling the van. And I don't know if you've ever been around kids, students, on a youth trip. They may or may not have taken a shower. Don't everybody have the same ideas that you do? God bless those that are in youth ministry. I did my time, got the t-shirt and all that. But I was just like, and the youth pastor was driving, I was sitting in the passenger seat, and I was like, Ben, dude, can you not tell you? I mean, they're loud. I'm like, dude, can you not tell, share with them next Wednesday night, what about cleanliness and sanitary and all that stuff? It just stunk. So I'm like trying to slip, it's cold outside, but I'm like trying to slip. Hey guys, let's play freeze out. Drop the windows. Let some fresh air come in here. You know, that kind of thing. So anyway, we made it back home. We had to make a few stops. We had to drop some few students off. And I noticed it was just me and Ben and in the van, that fragrance was still there. And I was like, it was Ben the whole time. And he probably knew. And I was like, oh my God, I feel so bad. Anyway, so I get home, and Amy's asking me how my trip was. I was like, it was the trip from hell. I thought I was going to throw up on all that beautiful white snow. You were going to see chunks of everything that I had ate for breakfast, all that stuff. And so anyway, so she asked me how it went. It was great. You know, so I said, hey, I'm going to go shower. I feel dirty, even though I took one this morning. So I start taking shirt off, and it was me. It was me. Here I am talking about all them kids. I felt like I needed to go into youth that night and apologize, because I know some of them right behind me on that first bench probably heard me talking about them, and the whole time it was me. How are you at self-awareness? We're aware about what's going on in everybody else's life, but we don't take time to stop and look at our own selves. How are you at being aware of what's going on in your life? In your life. Many of you could have a black gorilla dancing in the middle of your life right now that you don't even know, but other people see. How many actually saw that? Had not seen the, let me just do it this way. How many actually saw the black gorilla doing the moonwalk, but you had not seen that test done before? How many actually saw it? Anybody? Nobody. I picked the right message, didn't I? Nobody's aware of what's going on around them. Listen. There may be a black gorilla in the middle of your life right now. It could be called pride, and you don't even see it. But somebody else does. Somebody else is talking about it, I guarantee. It could be anxiety, anxious. You may not see it, but other people see it. It could be depression. You may not see it, but other people around you are picking it up. By definition, nobody believes that awareness is their problem. Nobody thinks that awareness is their problem. And see, that's the problem. Because there is a freedom that I believe we as the body of Christ have not tapped into. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, students. There is an area of freedom that you've not tapped into. I've not tapped into. And until I make sure that I'm right, until we stop church and look at the man in the mirror and go, yeah, there's some things that I can do. There's some things that I have no control over. I can't bring it back. I can buy some, but I have to learn to be content and accept what I do have, and then work on the things that I have control over. Like my kids, like my marriage, like my relationships. I can control that. But if I don't see that I'm the problem, there's no hope. For some of us, we dominate conversations. We always have to be the dominant. Matter of fact, I may be on the other side of the room and I hear something I may know a little something about, and I'm going to walk over and I'm going to start telling you what I think, and they're like, where'd you come from? You ever seen somebody like that? I'm not saying are you that person. I'm saying, you ever known somebody like that? They just enter the room uninvited. Like it was, but everybody else realizes it, but you don't realize it. Always got to be in the center. Everybody else is talking about it. How much are we missing if we would just take time to stop and not feel like we've got to be the commentary in the room, on the job? I can learn a lot more by listening, less by talking, because I don't know as much as I would like for you to believe that I do. Is this okay, this teaching style, this little interaction around the coffee table? I hope you're getting something out of it. For some of us, it's too hot in here for coffee. I already took my jacket off, and I'm like hoping somebody would have gotten the signal to turn the air on. Anyway, for some of us, we have these irritating mannerisms. We have these. My wife will tell you real quick, if he's starting to tell a story, back up about 10 feet, because like I'm doing right now, I may take you out because that's a mannerism that bothers her about me. Not because it bothers her, but because it's dangerous for her life. There's mannerisms that you have, or your spouse has, or your kids have. It drives you crazy, and they don't see it. There's some kids that they're at school and they're talking stuff and one's, you know, telling, hey, my dad does so and so. Well, my daddy does it better. Well, my mama baked a cake. Well, my mama baked all weekend. Do one better. And people walk around walking away going, what the heck is wrong with you? You can't see it? How much are we missing, church? How much are we missing because we're so trying to portray an image That's not, you can only portray that so long. Eventually the truth will come out. Some of you violate personal space. Some of you are constantly trying to make yourself sound smart because deep down inside you're insecure. Everybody else can see it, but ourselves. So what's this got to do with you and your Christian walk? It has everything to do with your Christian walk. It has everything to do. Because until we begin to walk in freedom, man, God never intended for you to be just strung up he never intended for you to be that way. And some of you are like, man, I wish I could just drop it. Who's stopping you? Man, I wish I could just let go of that relationship. I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking, because if you're in a marriage situation, you need to pray through and find freedom. But I wish I could just let go of this boyfriend. I wish I could just let go of these friends. I know the things, the conversation they're having, I shouldn't be, and we shouldn't go and watch, and we shouldn't go to. Who's keeping you locked in? You are in control. You are in control. Identify where your freedom is and run to it. His name is Jesus Christ. All right, let's go real quick to 2 Samuel. Time is ticking away, tick, tick, ticking away. That took you back to DC Talk days. Y'all don't even know nothing about all that right there. Don't even know nothing about that. 2 Samuel chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Just a little story set up. It's about this guy named David. A lot of people have already heard this story before. It's a guy named David. He's a great guy. He's a great leader. But David, just like everybody else, has some blind spots. Okay? There was a time in his life with all the power that he had, all the money that he had. He sees something that he does not have. And it's a woman named Bathsheba. He kind of goes on with his life. Matter of fact, y'all know the story. She's married to some other dude that's not him, not David. He sleeps with her. He sends her husband out, has him killed. And time goes on, and David acts like it never even happened. Like, you know, it's no big deal. But everybody else was talking about it. Everybody else saw it. David had a blind spot. David had a blind spot. Until one day, a guy by the name of Nathan confronts David. We'll pick that up in verse 1. It says, "The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, 'There are two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it and grew it up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms.'" Sounds like the animals in the Weber house. "Dear Lord Jesus, pray for me." No, that wasn't in there. That was my story. "It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep and cattle to prepare the meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him." David burned with anger. So basically what's happening is Nathan is telling a story to David that there's this rich guy who had everything. And he notices that there's somebody coming to him. Maybe God wants to use him to, but instead of using what he had, he wants to go use what somebody else has. Man, this was infuriated David. And this is what he said. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for the lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." And Nathan's sitting here looking like, David, do you not get it? Do you not understand? This story, it's not about the rich man. Verse 7 says, "Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. You are the man.'" Today, the story is not about David. Today, the story is about you. It's not about David anymore. It's about you. How are we doing? How are we doing with life? Listen, it's not about the other person. I know as soon as I said the title of the message, some of y'all started jotting down names. Boy, I can't wait till this thing hits podcast because I'm going to make, my husband's not here. I'm going to make sure he gets to hear this message. Matter of fact, I'm going to record it, put it on a DVD, and put it in his truck so when he turns his radio on, he starts hearing because he has a problem with it. Or we think about everybody else in the church that needs to be more self-aware. No, it's about you. Story's about you. What are some contributing factors as I come down to a close for today? What are some contributing factors to our blind spots? Here's a quick question for you. How fast is your life right now? This is what creates blind spots for us. How fast is your life right now? And you answer this. Are you resting? Could your life be described as resting, limping, walking, running, racing, or supersonic? What's your life? Somebody just say, what's your life? No. No, the answer. I'm asking a question. What's your life? Somebody just, is it supersonic? Are you racing? What's your life? Looking for honesty in the room today, church? Running, walking. I don't know if it's getting old age now that I've crossed into the big 4-0. I don't know, but I struggle every day at trying to slow down. Why? Because there is so much in my blind spot that I'm missing, and you can't see it with your fast pace. Example, I remember several years ago, I was able to fly to London for the company that I work for, and I remember coming in, and you see all this stuff on the ground, and you're coming in like 350 miles an hour, and you're like, you're trying to take it all in because you get to see a whole scope of everything, right? And there's some things you miss because you're coming in so fast. And then I remember the guy that finally decided to come pick us up. Funny story about that. I forgot that the driver's side's on the other side, and I went to get in on the passenger side, what I thought was the passenger side, and he threw the keys across. Cabby got jokes. He threw the keys out. He goes, you driving now? I was like, what? And I look in the steering wheel. I was like, dude, I've been flying for like, I don't know, 8-10 hours, and you got jokes? So I'm like, I'm not driving. You don't want me to drive. I'll be all kinds of, you think my blind spot, it would have been serious that day. But I remember once we finally got going and we started rolling down the road, there was things that I missed because we're no longer now going at 350 miles an hour. We're now going 65 or 70 miles an hour. And then I remember when we got out of the cab and we took our stuff and we began to walk down the street to the hotel we were staying at, I was actually to capture more stuff because the speed that I was going was now walking speed. See, how much stuff are we missing in our lives because we're always fast-paced? How much am I missing with my kids because I feel like I always got to send out the VIP letters? There's time for that. But what am I missing in life because I always feel like I've just got to go. I got a dollar bill, y'all. I got to spend this stuff. I got to do this thing. I got so much I got to do. How much am I missing? How much are you missing? Because your life is so fast, so fast-paced. Listen. Busyness should be like a warning light on the dashboard of your life going, warning, warning, warning. You're missing something. You're missing time with your kids. You're missing what God wants for your life. Well, I can't go to church today. God don't understand. I got to do this. And there are times when things do arise. But what am I missing? Because I'm putting something else more important. When all I needed to do was come to hear a very simple message that says there is a freedom that I need, that I'm longing for, and I'm the reason that I don't have it. How many people are missing that message? Very simple. Very simple. Listen, there is a difference between being busy and hurried. There is a difference between being busy and hurried. Busy is full schedule. That's busy. Nothing wrong. Let me say this. There's nothing wrong with being busy. But there is something wrong with being hurried. The greatest enemy, let me go back to say this. The greatest enemy of self-awareness in our culture today is hurry. What's keeping you from your freedom? You are, because you have a hurried life. Wow. It's that simple. Yeah, you're standing in the way. Difference between busy and hurried. Busy is many activities. Hurried is unable to be fully present. How many ever got somebody, you're talking to them, but they're all over their phone. It's not just enough to talk to you. They need to talk to 500 other people too, right, at the same time. You look across a restaurant. Don't tag me through town. You may see us doing the same thing. Our whole family may be on an iPhone. And we're really working hard on putting the phone away. Why is that so hard? Because I'm more interested in what's going on in your life and how big your duck lips are and how much you're working out and what your car looks like and does it need to be cleaned. And if it does, I'll mess it. I mean, those things. When instead I need to be looking at what's going on in my world, in my sphere, in my family, because that's something that I can control. You can't control what your cousins are doing 500 miles away on the other side of the world. You can't control, but you can control who's in your world. You can control your grades, students. You can. It's called a priority thing. What's more important? I brag on Ansley Grace the other day. I mean, she studies on her own. We'll go on to bed. Ansley's in there. I mean, we've had three girls, and they've all done great in school. But Ansley, I guess she watched the others and took notes along the way and said, this thou shalt not do. She's in there studying. The other night, she asked me, would I help her study? I don't know what kind of homework these teachers are doing these days, but she came with some flip cards about that thick. I'm like, dear Lord Jesus, what is this, Ansley? She says, American history. I was like, yes, one of my favorite. Not. So we go through it for an hour and a half, it felt like, going through these cards. The next day, on the way to school, I prayed God give her supernatural recall, because you can't pray for God to give you recall for something you didn't put in. Right. Hello. So you can control it, students. And your youth pastor give me that 10 for saying that after church. Anyway, I'm just playing. So on the way, we prayed, and then very first thing, she got home, got back to Amy's office at the other school, and she texted me, Daddy, you're never going to believe it. I was the very first one to get 100 in the class. There is an element that you can control. It is called your life. And then there are things that you can't control. And you pray for the one who can control that. You pray to him and ask him to change the circumstances. Don't be trying to meddle in that and try to, well, I'll make him love me, or I'll make her cook what I want her to cook. No, you pray and ask God to do the changing. You can't do it. That's temporary. What you change is temporary. It'll never be permanent. Only God is the one that can make the permanent change. You missed a good time to say amen. Yeah, you did. All right, real quick. Another difference between being busy and hurried, outward. Busy is an outward condition. Hurried is an inner condition of your soul. Listen, there are people that are so tired at the soul level. You come into church, I'm tired. You come home at the end of the day, I'm tired. It's not an outward, it's what's going on the inside of you. Busy is physically demanding. Hurried is spiritually being spiritually drained. Being busy reminds me that I need God. Hurried causes me to be completely unavailable to God. Jesus modeled this for us. Are you still here? Almost done. Jesus modeled this. Listen, there was always needs to be met. Jesus didn't snap his finger and every need went away. There was always, always somebody who needed to be healed. But what did he do? He didn't stay up all night. I mean, dude, he'd have been up all night. But what did he do? He went away to pray. There was moments that he got quiet. How many of you intentionally create slowness for yourself? I'm not talking about you stumble into boredom. I'm talking about you intentionally create this moment, and I'm trying to do this. For this moment, I'm trying to shut it down. And it's a struggle because there's so much that I think I need to be doing. Missing out on time with my family. But I can control that. 2 points I want to give you today and I'm done. Awareness increases as hurry decreases. We all need to become more aware of ourselves. And how do you do that? Awareness will increase in your life when hurry decreases. If you want to become a more self-aware person, embrace intentional slowness. Why? So you can live in freedom. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Slow down. When we slow down, the awareness begins to come into focus. There's so much more that you'll realize that you're missing. I'm just going to go and tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you're missing things. Oh, I'm not me. Allow me to introduce you to your blind spot. You're missing things in life. You're missing moments with your kids. You're missing moments with your parents. You're missing moments with people that love you. Slow down. Be still. Yeah, but you don't understand. No, you don't have to do anything. What you got to do is give that, you fill in the blank, to Jesus. You give that to Jesus. You can't give him anything trying to do a flyby. Hey, God. Take that, but I'm on my way. I got to go feed the poor, and I got to go do this, and I got to go do that. No. Stop, slow down, and go, God, I got some things. on my mind that I need to give you. You got to slow down. Got to slow down. Be still and know that I'm God. Number two, hurry decreases as contentment increases. Listen, I'm talking to myself. Until we learn to be content, I'm always, even in the middle of a church service, I'm going, how could we make that better? That's how my mind operates. Anytime we do an event, while the event's going on, how can we make this better? How can we reach more people? We're not a content people. If she would love me more, if she'd scratch my back, instead of making me have to ask for it, so I could go to sleep. I'm going to take my own notes. I'm going to start praying. God, may Amy have the desire to scratch my back at night so my things that bother her won't bother her anymore and she'll want to do it. It's called applying the word to your life. Because I can't change that. I've been trying for 15 years. But God can change your heart. Luke 12:15 says, a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. What's Jesus saying? I came into this world, I had no things. When I leave this world, I'm not going to have anything. But while I'm here on this earth, I'm going to have things. Nothing wrong with having things. But never make the mistake that happiness comes from having things. Learn to be content. Slowing down starts with your heart. Not your schedule. Slowing down starts with your heart, not your schedule. You can go out of here and go, I got it. I'm going to, because I've done it. How can I make an adjustment to my schedule, my calendar, so I can slow down? That'll work for about 7 days. But then all of a sudden, it'll be replaced with other things, and you'll be right back on the fast track, and you'll be in the middle of a rat race. Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard for us to look ourselves in the mirror? Is it because we see our past and it hurts? Is it because we remember divorce? Could be yours, could be your parents. Is it because shame? Because when I look at myself, I see shame. Is it because of inadequacy? Why? What keeps us from looking in the mirror? Anybody got any? Come on. Anybody got one? What are we afraid of when we see it? Why won't we look at ourselves? Why are we more concerned with other people? Regret? Regret. Got another one? It's easier not to. See, the enemy, his whole goal is containment. He can't steal the freedom from us. It's containment. I learned that a long time ago. He can't put the fire out, but he can contain it. So what's he do? He causes us to be linked to our past, divorce, shame. I don't want to look at myself because it's easier not to. It's easier to look at other people. But what God wants to do, God wants to take and use what the enemy meant for your bad. And he wants to take and shatter the image of your past. I'm not going for hyper element. I'm going for reality. Because that didn't work last night when I was trying. I needed a bigger chain. I was trying with my pretty chain. But God wants to take the very thing that the enemy is trying to, to trying to snuff your life out. He can't. But we will create a link to our past. And it's not just one thing. It's divorce that leads to hurt and it leads to shame and leads to all these things I was taken advantage of and all of these things. And I'm still being taken advantage of. And now my present. And I just can't. He wants to take the very thing that the enemy is trying to destroy your life. And he wants to destroy the image in the mirror so that you can no longer see all of those things. But you will see a fresh, clean mirror of yourself, because that's what the blood of Jesus Christ does for us. Why was this important? Because I'm tired of seeing God's people with a noose around their neck, just covered in chains, covered in all kinds of garbage, not living free. Oh, I think I'm free because I'm able. Listen, the enemy will give you as much. He will give you as much as you need to eventually your chain will run out. And so will your time in life. But God wants to take back. He wants to take back and remove that off of your life. I'm hoping that this is coming clear. I said all of that to say there are people in this room right now that feel just in the bondage of chain of their past and shame and all of those things. Stop looking at other people and what they're going through. And yes, God will give you a heart for the a broken heart for people that are going through stuff. But that same compassion he has for you, and you need to first identify before I can become something to someone else, before I can extend the love and grace and mercy to someone else who's hurting, I got to receive it for myself, because we're great at telling other people, God will set you free. But I'm walking around with chains. I'm talking as a pastor. I can stand up here and say, God wants to set you free from things. He wants to set you free from addictions. He wants to set you free from shame. I can say that, but if I'm not applying that to my own life, I'll go home, lay my head down, and feel discouraged. And what I'm saying is, God wants to set you free from a life of bondage. What's he say? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And prepare that video. And in just a moment, I want every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to read one last scripture verse. And then I've asked for them to play this video, and the dad's going to come and pray and dismiss. But if you're here today and you're saying, man, my life is so hurried. Yeah, you're going to be busy in life. If you're not busy, you don't live on this planet and you're not breathing air right now. You're going to be busy, but there is a difference between being busy and hurried. You need to slow down so you don't miss the moments that God has right in front of you. As teenagers, it is critical for you right now to slow down, because if you already jump on the racetrack of life and begin letting the cars fly by you and you just get caught up in what's going on, the enemy will snuff your life out. Man, it's taken me 40 years to get to a place where I go, even though I'm preaching this message, I still have a struggle in slowing down. Matthew chapter 28, this is the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. You're going to hear my voice, but I want you to replace that with the one who is speaking to you today. And he's saying, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And he goes on to say, I'll give you rest for your soul. You can be tired at a physical level, but if you're tired at a soul, we are a tired people at a soulish level, because we are so consumed with what's next. So as the lights come down and this video begins to start, this is the altar call. Wherever you are, it's between you and God. I've delivered. The waiter at the restaurant doesn't cut up my steak and feed me. He brings me the meal. It's up to me to partake. And so now, will you come to an altar right where you're seated and say, God, I identify with what that crazy little dude was saying today. And I need to slow down. God, help me. Help me not to miss the moments that you've prepared and laid out for me, because you can miss them. Be still. Know that he is God. And in this moment, for the next 5 minutes, and we're going home and we're going to eat something delicious today. Thank you, Jesus. He's saying, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Not Pastor Bradley, God will give you rest.
Are you hurting, broken, thin, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself?
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.